Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Crimeland, my name's Judy J, and this week I'm extremely excited because I am joined by the hilarious
Sharon Horgan
to talk about the death of Fred Osterick. Sharon, I'm so happy to have you.
Can I just remind you that I'm not Sharon Horgan?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, so you have been receiving emails. FAO Sharon Horgan.
Now, I'm sending them to myself, a little bit like sending yourself a Valentine's card. You know, you be the person that you want to be perceived as, but I'm not Sharon Horgan or Sharon Shannon or Sharon Nivioline. I'm Sharon Mannion.
But you know what, Sharon? Out of all the Sharons, you're my favourite Sharon.
Thank you. That
means
a lot.
And I'm not just saying that because you're the only one who got back to my email.
Well, I'm very prompt on email replies because I just sit on that inbox waiting.
You love you're mad for your inbox.
Oh, and anybody wants to see it or have a look.
I've heard it's a lovely inbox.
It's very tidy. Very tidy.
It's a family podcast.
Sometimes overflowing.
Would you be on the inbox? Because my inbox is completely out of control.
My inbox is out of control, as in like I have like, you know, 4,800 emails or whatever, but they are all read. Well, I do sometimes leave things as unread if I'm like, oh, I'll get back to that. You know what I mean? So I have about 11 or 12 unread emails. And then every now and again, I go and look at them and I go, oh, the deadline for that passed 6 months ago. You know, it's a constant.
I think it's a self-sabotage thing where I get an email and I get really excited because it might be about a corporate or something.
Yeah.
And mentally I've already spent the money. And 2 weeks later I realised I never replied to the email. I only did that yesterday.
Yeah.
Funny you say about writing yourself Valentine's cards. I'm sure Fred wouldn't mind me sharing this, but he only recently told me that back in the day he was in the shopping centre in Navan with his mother.
This isn't going to end well.
And LMFM were there and he was in fourth class at the time. Mm-hmm. And he went up and put in a request for Fred.
Oh God. Oh, that's pathetic.
From Mary or whatever it was.
Oh, God. Even he...
And he
went
was in Duns
far.
With his mother when the request was read out. And she just looked at him like, Fred, come on.
That's very, very sad.
I know. That's very sad. But we all did it. I remember Rachel Carey.
No, we didn't. Sorry, Julie. Just to clarify,
well,
we didn't all do that.
No, we did. I remember Rachel Carey. We used to put in requests, but we used to use the initials.
But did you put in... I think it's one thing to be like, oh, can you play a song for Sharon? It's another thing to be like, can you play a song for Sharon from, you know, Bernard...
I know. Yeah. You know, you're getting into kind of Netflix documentary territory aren't you?
You know, there's a bang of
for
Jeffrey Dahmer
JJ from DB. And then you'd meet him the next day and be like, what are you doing making up requests from me? And be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you remember
that was another DB
the thing
who's mad after me?
Where you go like, Fred loves Julie, and then you'd something with the letters, and you'd count it up, and it would turn into a percentage or something.
Be like,
Fred loves Julie 68% or something.
How did that
even work? I don't know, but it was something about the letter. Each letter had signified a number or something. So I think if it was A was 1 and B was 2, and then you would add them up or something.
On. This is ringing a
and
lot
then
of
sometimes
bells.
It'd be like, oh no, it's only 12%. Oh no. And then sometimes it'd be like, oh, 99%. Oh my God. And there'd be arrows. I remember one maths class, my friend doing one of those, and it was the guy sitting in front of you did a big arrow pointing, and then the teacher came down.
Read it out.
He
was like, picked up the
book.
It was maybe like, you know, it was horrific.
But the sad
truth is, if you got 99% with somebody who was, let's face it, like a really, just a really toxic suitor, like mm-hmm. you were keeping that relationship going for at least 5 more years.
Oh, 100%.
Based on that maths.
Absolutely. Because that's the only thing we had
that's
to.
That's science.
It was flawless. I mean, I think most of those relationships worked out well, I would say. I also had.
And you and Tony have been married for how long now?
78% of our lifetime. We've been married for 9 years. Just recently.
And you are, I have to say, I think you're my favourite comedy married couple.
There's not many of us. No, that started off as, I thought that was a huge compliment, and then I realised I can't name any other ones apart from yourselves. I can't think of any.
There must be another comedy couple out there. Well, there's Des and Hannah, but I feel they're kind of stateside now.
And there's Fiona and Dwayne. I know they're not married, but you know what I
mean. Basically. They've bought the house.
So I think, yeah. So it's highly competitive.
Fiona and Dwayne. Oh, do you know what now? I don't know, because Fiona and Dwayne are a nice married couple as well.
So you're saying I'm bumped off down the list.
No, you're always going to be my number one,
I could tell
Sharon.
You some things about Fiona and Dwayne. I mean, they'd be made up, but I could tell you some things. Okay? I'm going to get
dark
quite competitive.
Side.
To me.
No, to Fiona and Dwayne, for sure.
100%.
Oh, I remember when I was really hungover after my hen and I lost my cat.
Okay.
And Dwayne in particular was so supportive. No, this isn't like inbox euphemism.
Okay,
this is just an actual cat.
Okay.
But he was just so supportive and lovely, even though he couldn't do much because obviously he was Dublin based.
So I'm sorry, I need some context for how Dwayne got even involved in this.
I think he shared it or something, and then Fiona sent me a message.
Okay.
It was just a lot of checking in.
No, that seems lovely. And I apologise retrospectively. I have no memory of you losing your cat.
No, and to be honest, I
wouldn't have cared.
I mean, losing the cat was a bit of a stretch. I think I was just in the horrors and forgot where I put the cat.
Yeah.
Do you know that
you
kind
were
of
hungover.
And poor old Molly, because she's deaf and blind.
That's the cat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she is very small. She kind of has the body of a kitten, which does annoy me because she's like 21, 22.
Okay.
And like, not that I'm resentful of Molly, but like,
I would be.
She has that kitten quality to her. So anyway, Fiona and Dwayne were very supportive.
Did you find the cat?
I did. I found Molly moments after doing an Instagram post about it, and then forgot to take the Instagram post down, but was kind of still enjoying
the dopamine hits.
Just the dopamine hits and the love and people checking in and
we
all
got
of that.
On, myself and Danny got on a plane recently, and just as the plane was about to take off, he started going, I've lost my phone. I had it when I got on. I heard a thud on the ground of the plane.
Oh no.
He had literally all rows around us were on their hands and knees. The flight attendant got on her hands and knees.
Is
looking
this
for
after
this.
Takeoff?
No, just before we were just going to
this
the.
This doesn't sound safe.
No, it wasn't. And I couldn't ring it because he keeps his phone on silent the whole time. What's the point in having a phone if it's going to be on silent all the time? 15 minutes in. What does he do? Finds it in the little pouch in front.
Oh, stop.
I mean, I swear to God, I've never wanted to throw somebody off a plane, but I did in that moment.
You know, if I was Danny in that situation, I would have taken the phone and just dropped it somewhere. Like, you don't want to admit it's been in the pouch the whole time.
I think he just, it was too, we were all too invested, the 8 people around us.
Yeah.
It was too, like, everybody saw him look. Everybody saw the moment. So it wasn't even like he had to, he just, yeah, it was.
That's like when you find the phone or the passport in your pocket or the ATM card you've already reported.
And the annoying thing for me is Danny has a habit of doing this. So I've learned not to take him seriously and I just ignore it. But this was I fell for it. That's what I was so annoyed about. I was like, I can't believe I was on my hands and knees here.
78% later.
It's gone down. 62%
around. Oh. Mm-hmm. Poor old time. But he did get the, he did find the phone, which
well, he did, because he never lost it, Julie. You can't find something if you've never lost it.
Although I don't know what, I don't know why I've had a sudden flashback, but I remember, speaking of last ATM cards, I used to be shifting this fella in Australia.
Okay.
Who I knew from home, but was one of these people, you know, you go to Australia and you kind of momentarily lose your mind. And oh, suddenly absolutely. I had embarked on this casual relationship with this guy. He was a lovely guy, but we had absolutely nothing in common. But for some reason, I kind of got in my head that I couldn't trust him.
Okay.
Even though I've no, I had no reason really to kind of back.
What
it was a feeling. I was probably early 20s.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And 3 or 4 times during our relationship, he would stay over and I would not be able to find my ATM card. And I would report my ATM card stolen.
Oh my God. And you started to think he had stolen it, but you still kept seeing him.
And I would... Just,
wow, that's how desperate we are for relationships in our 20s.
I kept shifting him, Sharon.
Of course you did.
And this was back in the day when, like, you reported your card stolen, you weren't getting another card for 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to have to Western Union it, but I kept shifting him.
Yeah, I we had a house party in ours once and I shifted this guy and he robbed my phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember that now. It was funny. It was actually quite funny.
In Roscommon or Dublin?
No, no, in Dublin. That doesn't happen in Roscommon. You're mad. No, no, Dublin, in Crumlin, yeah.
And he took your phone.
He robbed my phone.
Maybe he just really did not want you to contact him.
maybe he was just taking it very seriously that he wanted to put his number in my phone and then it just went too far. It just got out of hand. Yeah, that's probably what it was. Yeah. I thought we were getting along great. I was like, this one.
And
yeah.
Also, but maybe it was that old chestnut, like you take the phone and then you have to meet the person again.
Yeah. They have your phone. Mean, except if that was his plan, I mean, he never followed through on that. So I'd like to think it was something like that that just went
so
wrong.
So listen, if you have that Nokia 3210, please get in touch. And that's been the crime land. That was the crime
that's
we were
it.
Talking about today.
Thank you. Any leads, appreciate it.
Sharon, I'm going to dive right in, if that's okay. Okay, so
please
the death
do.
Of Fred Osterick. So, Donny Osterick was born while Birger Korshel, and by the way, PS, my pronunciation
okay.
is perfect. In 1880 to German immigrant parents in the United States. So okay. it's unclear if she herself was born in Germany or shortly after her parents arrived in the US of A. She grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. So that was the kind of area she
Midwest.
Grew up in. Midwest.
Yeah. See, my geography is on point.
Thank you. Because I did ask you to have a look at a map before
and
you came in.
I did. Of you course I did.
Did.
I've done a lot of prep for this.
And now, so she grew up in this area and she grew up among a community of fellow German immigrants. So it was a real kind of German American community. From an early age, her parents had given her the nickname Dolly, and the nickname had really stuck. So apparently she came from a really loving family. Her parents were mad about her. She was kind of indulged to an extent.
This is,
which is reflected in the nickname Dolly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of a creepy nickname to give
you
a child.
Do you think I like the name Dolly?
No, I think it sounds like a plastic doll.
It's a bit, yeah.
It conjures up an image of a doll that's melting in a fire or
there's
something.
There is a whack of only child maybe after
Dolly. Oh, listen. Totally. I'd say within 5 minutes of meeting her, you'd be like,
Only child. Yeah,
but did the
sure.
parents divorce? Because that's another one.
Well, no.
Okay.
Divorce.
Right.
This was probably back in the time when you probably couldn't really divorce that easily because you could, like, it was the old thing of, I'd love to divorce them, but I don't have a bank account.
Exactly. So we would, like, if we lived in that time, you'd be still shifting your man in Australia and I'd be still shifting the fellow who's robbing me for life. I'd have nothing left.
But what an exciting life we'd have.
Oh, Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, God.
Or Bonnie and just Clyde and, you know.
At the moment, the closest either of us get to Bonnie and Clyde is Danny. You are Danny perpetually losing his phone.
Yes. Yeah.
Delaying the flight
exciting,
as
though.
Everyone's on their hands and knees.
And everyone looking pitifully at me. Oh. There was American women behind me just like kind of going, oh, honey, men are all the same. You're all the same. I was like, oh, thanks.
From an early age, so her parents given her this nickname and she was, you know, she was a happy child. Parents loved her and all the rest. At age 12, Dolly started work at a textile mill because, like, you know, you're 12 now.
Listen, and this is the way it should be.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
I agree. Like, I agree.
I was working in a chicken factory from a young age.
But you worked. Was that your first job?
It wasn't my first job. No.
Oh, shit.
It wasn't
Karen.
Even my first job. My first job was cleaning a guest house and I got fired on my first day because I was sweeping too slow. thing.
Oh, Sharon.
I was very thorough with the sweeping.
And a
too
guest
thorough.
House in Roscommon.
Yeah. Yeah, like the life happens down
a big
there,
Julie. Tourism sector.
Well, I didn't say that now, but you know, there are okay. You know, there are visitors. Yeah. I also worked in a chipper, £2 an hour.
Yeah.
Used to write my hours on the back of the chip bag. That was a great job. I loved that. Free chips. Who doesn't like free chips?
I used to work in a chipper as well. Yeah.
It's good,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I liked it. Didn't mind it. Yeah, I did feel quite powerful when it came to the burning oil, the hot oil and the chips and the Dunkin' and the
oh, I thought you meant at like 3 a.m. when like people were screaming. There was people I went to school with who never spoke to me, but at 3 a.m. when I was
besties.
In charge of handing out the cheeseburgers, they were like, Sharon, Sharon, Sharon.
Oh yeah, mad for your chicken balls at 3 a.m.
Love
and
a
then
bit
when
of me
did you work
four
in the chicken
box.
Factory?
That was actually when I had done the leave and in between going to college, and we had to lie. Loads of us from school went up because you could earn £4.04 an hour. I still remember it, which was big money at the time. But you had to say you were going full time. If you said you were going to college, whatever, you only got the part time rate. So we all said, so I was sitting in the interview and they were like, do you really see yourself here, you know, full time? And we were like, oh yeah, absolutely. Love chickens. Actually hate chickens because they're all being killed. Hate chickens and really happy to work in a chicken factory. And yeah, got the job. And then in sort of the last week of August, we all went, actually, it's not really working out. I'm just going to hand in my notice there.
I just want you to know I didn't deceive you because this really was my plan.
What was my plan? What
as in you, this is what you were saying to your boss in the chicken
oh
factory.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
My mother filled out the CEO form on the slide.
Oh, there was no
I had
lying.
Nothing
no,
to do with it.
It was just a complete change of heart.
Direction.
For a lot of us. Yeah. For about 12 people
that
at this, on the same
really,
day.
That must have really tough. Did that put you off eating chicken?
No, everybody says that. And I loved chicken then and I love chicken now. No problem at all. It definitely put me off ever wanting to go to prison because not that I ever wanted it anyway, but it was very like being in a prison environment. There was lifers and
okay,
like I got I started getting, there was one day I could feel bits of chicken being flung at me and I thought I was kind of imagining it, and I went to the loo and my friend was like, what did you do to your one, I won't name names, and I was like, what do you mean? She was like, she kept firing bits of chicken at you and she was using her knife to make like threatening gestures, and I was like, I don't even know this girl. And the only thing I could think of is that I had made eye contact with her when I'd gone out to the loo. I had just done that thing where you make eye contact and kind of nod at somebody, and that was it.
Oh,
I had wronged her in some way.
And when you say bits of chicken,
prisoner cell block H, like, you know,
like, are we talking feathers, bones?
No, flesh? Like flesh, yeah, because my job, gosh. I was on the line where the breasts, like there was a whole operation. So the breasts would come down the conveyor belt and I would have to scrape the gunk off it, basically. And so it was those bits of gunk that were being. And
wow.
I was like, what's that? Is there a fly? Or, and it was
bits of chicken gunk.
Yeah, and I've no idea. As I say, I just had made eye contact with this person.
That's even worse than Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I've never seen that, but because I can't, because I'm traumatized now. I can't watch any prison
dramas.
It's
basically, it's this amazing Netflix drama that's set in a chicken factory.
Yeah, in a chicken factory.
Over multiple
okay.
seasons.
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. So,
you
times.
Never once look twice on a chicken nugget.
I love chicken nuggets. I think they're
mad for them.
I love chicken. I eat chicken twice a day if I can.
Really?
Yeah.
For breakfast, lunch and dinner?
No, that'd be three times a day.
Well, I'm sorry, I was 78% sure that was three times a day.
Lunch and dinner. I'd have chicken all the time.
Okay,
interesting. I would, before I met Danny, I wouldn't have bought any red meat really, just chicken.
So poor old Danny, scatty Danny, can never find his phone, but did get you into the red meat.
Yeah, but it's not
side.
Even that I'm into it. It's just, you know, the way you have to compromise.
Okay, all of this is being edited out.
Marriage is all about compromise.
All of this is being edited out. Comedy gold as it is, it's gone. Okay. So basically, she gets the job age 12, Dolly, in this textile mill. And the owner was this guy called Fred William Osterich, who was another German immigrant who had become successful and frequently hired fellow German immigrants in his factories. So he was really supportive of people who'd just come to the States. Dolly was, by all accounts, just a really popular, charismatic girl. She got on really well with everyone. She quickly attracted Fred's notice.
Okay.
And the two married when she was 17. As Fred's wife...
What age was he now, your man?
Oh, that is a good question. So he would have been 15 years her senior. Yeah. So he would have been 32. She was 17. Yeah, but he was a bit of a catch because he owned the mill, you see.
I know, but it's still a bit.
And actually, personality-wise, he was supposed to be kind of a bit of a cold fish. Dolly was very much like she was the people person.
Okay.
So she would often even resolve, say, disputes between workers in the factory and stuff. And Dolly herself was, I guess, the more popular one. And Fred was very much kind of standoffish, distant, yeah, like a
you
real boss.
You need the yin and yang, don't you? You can't have two in the couple who are like, wah! It's too much. It's way too much, you know.
So Dolly was definitely the wah, and yeah, Fred was just like, here we go again.
Yeah, shut up, Dolly. Yeah.
So from the beginning of the marriage, Dolly was rumoured to invite many lovers into her home.
We're straight in here.
Straight in.
Okay.
While Fred worked at the mills. So in 1913, when she was 33, Dolly was introduced to Otto Sanhuber, a 17-year-old sewing machine repairman who worked for her husband. She invited Otto to her home to fix her sewing machine.
Oh, yeah.
That old chestnut.
Oh, come on now.
And we know what happened. Okay, we've all seen the porno.
He thread the needle.
Am I right? He thread that needle good. And the two began a really intense affair. Ooh. To avoid suspicion from the neighbours, Dolly explained that to her when she was chatting to the neighbours, because obviously this fella was going in and out. And like, there's only so many times someone can fix your sewing machine.
Can break. Yeah. So, yeah. I suppose if she just kept throwing it off the wall.
Yeah. If you were doing some heavy threading, maybe.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So she explained to the neighbours that Otto was, in fact, her, quote, vagabond half-brother. So just in case you're wondering about this guy going in and out, he is my, quote, vagabond half-brother, which, you know, I feel like more questions than answers.
I know,
there.
And that just, it adds a creepy element that doesn't need to be there, Dolly.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Why couldn't he be unrelated vagabond?
Well, things get weirder, Sharon.
Oh, okay.
This is when things get really weird. So gradually, the need to conceal the relationship from both Fred and the neighbours led to Otto moving into the Asterix attic, which was accessible through a panel in the ceiling of the closet of the bedroom Dolly shared with her husband. So you got to this attic by going through the closet, like real Narnia vibes.
Now, did your man...
This was voluntary.
I know that. Sure, he was having a great time. He's only 17. Sure, it's like a little summer camp for him. But the husband, what's his name again? Frederick.
Fred.
Does he know that your man's in the attic?
No.
Oh my God.
I know. Yes.
But although when we had mice in the attic, Danny hid it from me, so...
And did you not cop? They're little. Oh God, they really creep me out.
Oh,
just
I
their
can't
little
stand
feet.
Them. Yeah, yeah. Husbands.
People are throwing. They're teeny little feet.
They're teeny little feet.
Their
tails.
Between, so people are throwing chicken conch at you. There's mice in the attic, and you're completely oblivious.
Listen,
Sharon.
It's the only way I can cope with life is to pretend that this stuff doesn't bother me. No, I think maybe on some level I knew the mice were in the attic, but I have a huge fear of. Well, it's not a fear, but I can't. A mouse crawled up my back once, okay?
What?
Yeah. Okay, I said it. All right, it's out.
Shut up.
Yeah. And ever since then, I...
Did that? No, I'm not gaslighting you, but did that definitely happen?
Oh my God, that's exactly what you're doing to me, Julie. Yes, it definitely happened. It was in my coat and I put it on my coat.
Stop!
Oh,
no, Sharon!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Dublin or Roscommon?
Dublin.
A Dublin mouse.
I'm telling you, these things don't happen. A little,
in his
little
jersey.
Dublin little scurrier going, ah, get
Stephen
up.
Cluxton.
Come here, you cunchy, and I get up your back. Come on.
In his tiny little jersey.
Yeah.
Oh,
ah,
stop.
Come on. Alive. Oh.
So let me just get this straight. Yeah. It was on the inside of the jacket.
So my coat was... This is very difficult for me to talk about, but I'm just going to try and mentally separate myself from this memory, okay?
Your coat made of chicken feathers.
No. It was a normal, nice, warm coat. That's what the little fucker was looking for, I'd say. And it was hanging up and I went... This was in a workplace. I was working in a call centre at the time. This is a long time ago. And I went to grab my coat and I put it on and I was like, oh, what's that?
Oh, Sharon.
And, yeah.
That is really creepy.
Yeah.
So look, what we're saying is there could have been worse in the attic than Otto.
Yes, and what I'm saying is that my spouse has also concealed something in the attic from me. So, and it could, like, he told, do you know what? He told me it was a mouse. Maybe he was having an affair. I just swallowed the line about the mice. And he was up and down there three times a day.
That's why he's always losing his phone.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a burner phone for the affair.
That's what it is. I was thinking
that. No wonder he was panicking on that flight. Yeah,
the mice footsteps were a little bit feminine. And,
yes, you thought
clunky.
You heard just to let a heel.
I did. I heard, and this lipstick. I was like, "Why is the mouse wearing lipstick?" But oh, whatever my Danny says, I believe him. Stand by your man.
Well, Fred was also kind of a stand by your woman kind of a guy. So you have a lot in common with Fred here. Mm-hmm. So Asha was moved into the attic, and Asha was given. So Dolly gave him a cot, like kind of a bed, food, a lamp, books, and writing materials. So like
everything.
You couldn't say he didn't have a good setup.
Listen,
you know,
he had it all. All he needs there is a package of Jaffa cakes and he's good to go.
Yes. So, I mean, obviously, like an attic space with a lamp is probably going to cost you at least 2K a month now 100%. In the current climate in Dublin. Yeah. So, like, you know, she did supply him with the bits and the bobs. But this kind of started off, I mean, who knows what their long-term plan was. But it started off and Otto would get up during the day and he would kind of do bits and bobs around the house.
Oh yeah, a bit of cleaning like.
Bit of cleaning.
Nice.
Bit of housework. At night then, he would live in the attic. He was big into reading and writing science fiction stories, which Dolly would mail to potential publishers for him. So like she was supportive.
Okay, so it was a very, in some ways it was a very healthy relationship. If you could eliminate the attic part.
Well,
it was perfect. It was actually what we all dream about.
It is a bit of a flowers
couple
in the
goals.
Attic vibe.
Yeah.
Couples goals for
couples
sure.
Goals, yeah.
Bar the fact that Otto would later describe himself as Dolly's, quote, sex slave and claimed they made love up to 8 times a day.
Okay.
Which I just think is too many times.
I have to stop you there because I never understand these people who say they're making love 8 times a day. Mel B said it once as well in an interview and I've never forgotten it. Who has the time? Like, I'd love to know, is that full penetrative sex 8 times a day? Is that what they mean?
I don't, I mean, I presume so. Or maybe
just,
a bit of needle in
those,
the thread.
Like,
I don't know.
It's just a bit of a fumble in the jungle kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, surely you couldn't be, you couldn't be doing that
8 times a day.
Yeah, you couldn't, no.
You'd be wrecked.
No,
I mean like, you can't, like, would you do it before breakfast, after breakfast, before lunch, after, like, do you know what I mean?
I know.
It'd be just like, oh, sorry, I have to go and have a ride again. Like, do you know what I mean?
Exhausting.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Or would you get all 8 of them done in fairly quick succession?
I think poor old Ted is too, and I don't even think we've had sex 8 times since Ted's landed.
Yes, nice. That's,
I mean, 8 times a day.
8 times a day. I think if you're married and you're hitting 8 times a year, I think...
Yeah,
I think
things are still hot
fair
and heavy.
Play. Oh yeah.
Well, Otto, he did say basically like that he considered himself this sex slave. Now he said all the sex was consensual, but like just that it was kind of
full
it was
on.
A lot.
It was
a lot.
Yeah.
So Fred remained unaware of Otto's presence in the house, which I think, you know, any of us who are married to a straight male is completely unsurprising. Like obviously we love them very much, but observationally speaking.
Well, I can't buy into
well,
that.
Well, of course,
I'm the one
yes.
That, yeah. I think the roles are a little reversed for me and Danny,
yeah,
I think.
Because Danny had the missus in the attic, etc.
Well, the missus, the mouse, who knows?
The missus, the mouse, whatever you're having yourself.
Yeah.
So in 1918, Fred announces that he wants to move to LA.
Oh.
So obviously this is an issue because Dolly has Otto in the attic. So Dolly agrees to move on the condition that she could choose their new home.
Okay.
Deliberately picking a house with an attic, which apparently at the time was a rarity in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So she picked the house and then Otto actually moved ahead of them.
Okay.
So he was already installed in
the
LA attic.
Love it.
Prior to their arrival, where once Dolly and Fred landed in LA, their affair just resumed.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
I mean, there's a lot of organization here as well.
There is. And like normally the attic is where you move in everything and then you just throw everything else in the attic. So
yeah.
I'm kind of, it's actually a good system to get somebody up there in the attic initially and sort out the attic. Get in a Styra. And then
the old Styra. What do we do before the Styra?
I don't know.
My God.
Like, yeah, I remember the attic in my parents' house. You have to walk on the beams. Like, it's like
It was like an very precarious.
Yeah, yeah.
It was real crystal mail. Crystal mail. Crystal mail situation.
That's the patriarchy making you say that.
Well, yes. So I know what you mean. Definitely, like, this was not, this was a pre-Styra situation.
Yes.
So it's all quite impressive in terms of what they're, I guess they're really maximising the use of the attic.
Dermot Bannon would go wild for this.
Dermot great would be use of space. Ejaculating all over the place. With this is like serious beams.
Okay. I think with 8 times a day, we've enough ejaculating on
it. Even you saying that's in sentence, I'm exhausted.
Like, is there anything else you would do 8 times a day? Like, you don't even eat.
You wouldn't
times
even
a
have
day.
A cup of tea 8 times a day.
And
I love tea.
I love tea. You wouldn't have time. You wouldn't. You know, you wouldn't make a phone call 8 times
You'd have
a day.
The dishwasher. Like, you'd be at it and you'd be thinking, I need to load the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You'd be at it again. You'd be thinking, I need to now unload the dishwasher. Yeah.
It must be very quick.
It must be
very
quick. He was a younger man.
Yes.
As well. So they tend to be a little, not that we're, you know, making assumptions here about
Otto. But we are.
But
we
are.
We're absolutely making
assumptions. And it's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the 22nd of August, 1922, so this is 4 years after they've moved to LA.
Okay.
After overhearing a loud argument between Fred and Dolly and believing Dolly to be in danger, Otto emerged from the attic and got two pistols from the bedroom, kind of, you know, the chest of drawers beside the bed.
Yeah, where we all keep our pistols.
Where we all keep our guns.
Yeah.
So in the ensuing struggle, Otto shot Fred 3 times, killing him.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Okay.
All of this obviously has come to a head quite suddenly and quite violently.
Yes.
So Dolly and Otto are obviously in a bit of a panic. They hastily staged the scene to make it look like a...
suicide?
No.
Oh. Accident?
Oh.
Robbery. Oh.
An L robbery. Yeah.
So like, I couldn't think of anything else. I'd be useless in this situation.
Oh, no.
Useless
listen.
With the dead. Do you ever have that dream where you wake up thinking you've killed someone? Is that...
No.
Oh, yeah, no, me neither.
Would you really? Would you?
I have it
a lot.
I have it a recurring
would
dream.
Would
yeah.
it be somebody, like, say, like, is it the
it's
same
always
person?
You. It's always you.
It's always
you.
Me.
No, it's not. The person is never clear. It's just that I have killed someone and I'm burying the body and stuff. And it's like, it's more like, it's less the specifics and more the feeling of, oh my God, I can't believe I've done that.
Do you think is you that know? Because you are hiding a big secret and it comes out in your subconscious that you've killed someone?
But what is the big secret? I mean, I just like to clarify
you've
that.
You've had Danny's phone this whole time?
No!
And he's looking for it?
Maybe. I mean, that does sound like a plausible thing, but I don't know what the secret could be. And I'm reasonably, I mean, there is that moment when I wake up for about a half a minute where I go, like, I haven't killed anybody, have I? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, that hasn't happened, has it? And then I'm like, no, of course not. Oh, don't be ridiculous. But do you know what I mean?
But yeah, and you're just fully convinced when you wake up.
Oh yeah, like it's more that thing of like, it's like I've hidden the body and then I wake up and I've kind of gotten away with it, in inverted commas, you know what I mean?
But
it's a horrible
you're
feeling.
You're racked with this kind of constant anxiety and when am I going to be found out, etc.
Yes, yeah. Now, all of this happens for 20 or 30 seconds then when I wake up.
And it's and not then. So, it's never, I think I probably have dreamt about killing certain people.
Yeah, it's less about the
violent
the act. I just want to make
about
that clear.
With the guilt
it's more about, I think it's definitely a guilt dream of some, but I don't know what I'm guilty about because I'm.
Chicken factory?
Could be. Making eye contact with that person that time.
I was just thinking about all the chickens coming home to roost, maybe in your dreams.
Oh my God, they're the bodies that I have killed.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Dolly and Otto stage this burglary. Mm-hmm. Dolly then, so she gives Otto all the cash and jewellery that she had in the bedroom. And she also gives Otto Fred's diamond watch. Otto then, now I'm not quite sure the thinking process behind this, mm-hmm. but Otto then locked Dolly in a closet.
Okay. Was this a bit of a payback for the attic?
No. This apparently was part of a plan to make it look like they had been, so Dolly had been ambushed in this robbery and that the robbers had locked her in the closet. And then he got rid of the key before returning to the attic with the money, the watch, Fred's watch, and the two guns.
Did they have sex 8 times that day?
Well, I mean, 8 times.
Yeah.
I'd say they probably, something happened.
Surely not.
I'm
surely
sure
they didn't.
Before she was locked
I
in
bet
the
you
closet.
They were like, oh, I've only got 6 times done today, but I'm going to have to put you in the closet, Dolly.
I think it's
yeah, sorry now. Oh, we'll have a quick go in the closet. Okay, we're up to 7.
I think it's time for a bit of relationship counselling when you're only
so.
Having sex 6 times
so.
A
something
day.
Something has started to wane. Literally and physically and emotionally.
So the mad thing about this is the cops then arrived. Mm-hmm. So basically, obviously the neighbours had heard the gunshots. So mm-hmm. they alerted the police. The police came. They find Dolly in the closet. Mm-hmm. Fred is dead. Now, they think Dolly, they feel there's more to the story.
Okay.
But ultimately, their thinking is, how could she have killed him and then locked herself
yes.
in the closet?
They don't know about the attic.
So they're thinking, look, we're not fully buying what this woman mm-hmm. is selling, but ultimately we have no evidence to pin mm-hmm. this on her. Fred is dead, but like she's telling us this is a robbery, and they just didn't have enough evidence. So what's really mad is after the murder, Otto continued to live in the attic for another 8 years.
Okay.
So now okay. this relationship has shifted.
Why didn't he come down from the attic?
Yeah, because I just feel at this point now, like whatever about what Dolly was telling him before, Fred is now dead.
Yeah.
So he did still pop down, but he was still residing.
More comfortable in the
attic. So at that
okay.
stage, the attic was kind of his domain.
Okay.
So he would come down, obviously Dolly and himself would thread the needle. And
three
then
or
he
four
would go
times.
Back up to the attic.
They'd do it 3 or 4 times up there.
Because
as well.
You see, I suppose at this stage, it had gone on for years. So he was probably conditioned that was felt like his safe space in the attic.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
still a lot of questions.
It's very strange.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
I mean, if you could, I suppose given the choice, if you could, like if you could move Fred to the attic of your house.
He'd love it.
What? I mean, imagine the space you'd have.
Yeah.
You
no,
know,
he will be
I
very
would
happy
that,
up there, yeah. I feel.
Would he? Yeah.
I think I might float at him this
just
evening,
just give
actually.
It a, you just see. Like, if I think if I could move down into the attic and have the rest of the house to myself. Oh, I think that'd be great. Like, when I had COVID and I was... I isolated in the room, and first I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm isolating away from the kids and blah, blah. It was the best week of my life.
Yeah.
It was the best week of my life.
Well, I was raging because when I got COVID and Fred was testing negative, and I was like, well, I guess I'll have to live in the West Wing for the rest of the week. And then he tested positive and I was like,
you see, that's what happened
couldn't
to us.
Couldn't she just let me have COVID?
Yeah, let me have my thing. They're always trying to clip our wings. Yeah.
They just don't have their
no.
own identity.
Well, I was the this only one the positive, problem. So I was in the room for a week. And even on the last night, Danny was like, sure, maybe you could come down.
I don't want to risk it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was like. No.
It's all better. About health and safety.
It's all about, I'm so, like, it was, I couldn't go near the kids. It was brilliant. Eva wet herself one day, couldn't do anything. Danny, can you come up here? The child has wet herself. I can't touch her. I can go back to bed. Can I get another coffee while you're coming up?
Eva's going to love that when we play it for her.
Yeah,
at her
she, loves that. Ah, she loves that. She loves that.
He's still in the attic. The only notable change in the relationship was that Otto was permitted a typewriter because obviously there was no longer anyone to hear it. By this time, Dolly was also carrying on an affair with her lawyer.
Ah, come on,
Herman
Dolly.
Shapiro, whom she had hired after being suspected for Fred's murder, but obviously they couldn't pin it on her. In 1930, Herman became suspicious after Dolly gave him the diamond watch, which she had years earlier reported stolen by the burglars
who
killed Fred.
So Herman had
Fred.
No idea.
Oh. So he came and he was her defense lawyer. Mm. And then like years later, she gives him a watch and he's like, I'm fairly sure that's the watch, ooh, the diamond watch that your husband supposedly had stolen. She stated that she'd found the watch in the front yard and that the thieves must have dropped it during their escape.
Good woman, Dolly.
But Otto and Herman weren't Dolly's only partners. She also had another partner called Roy Klum.
Ah, come on.
Who soon discovered that she was having an affair with Herman, her lawyer. Mm-hmm. He went to the police and informed them that Dolly had given him a gun shortly after the murder, a pistol, and asked him to dispose of it.
Ah.
A neighbour also told police that Dolly had given him yet another gun. So like, oh, the moral of the story is like, if you're going to, you know.
Yeah, pick somebody. Like, if you're going to put your eggs in a basket, pick a basket.
One.
Stop putting
neighbor.
All the eggs in all the baskets.
Yeah. Like, you can't
crack.
Be giving guns to everyone.
No,
so.
No. I've learned that the hard way.
the mean streets of Roscommon.
I tell you, you have to, if you want to survive in Castlereagh, you have to.
There's a gun code.
Yeah.
So the neighbour also told police that Donny had given him this gun and asked him to dispose of it because it too closely resembled the gun that killed her husband and she, quote, did not want to get into trouble, which seems logical.
Yeah.
The neighbour buried the gun under a rose bush in his garden.
As you do.
Police, which sounds like a real, it sounds like a country song.
I want to bury my gun in the rose bush.
Yeah. Police were able to recover the guns from both locations. Although badly decayed, both pistols were determined to be of the same caliber that killed Fred. Donny was arrested under suspicion of murder. While in jail, Donny confessed to Herman that her, quote, vagabond half-brother had been living in the attic of her home and requested he check on his well-being.
Oh.
Upon knocking on the trapdoor leading to the attic, he was greeted by a thin, pale, but apparently like good-humoured Otto, who explained his real relationship with Donny and eventually confessed to his role in the murder.
So, sorry.
There's
sorry.
A lot there in that sentence.
I mean, could Otto not get out of the attic himself?
Well, but from what it sounds like to me, it sounds like she was keeping him in there during the day. So it did sound like kind of an abusive situation whereby, I can remove
everything.
Kind of.
Yeah,
this
I think
has been
can,
going on.
Yeah, I think we can, I think the veil has dropped from Donny and any perception we had of her being okay. I mean,
yeah.
I thought he had his own way of getting out, but he had to wait for her. Why would he go back in? This is so disturbing. This is really disturbing.
It's so bad.
I suppose we all do things in relationships.
You know, we all make mistakes.
We all make mistakes. And we all do things, we all put up with things that maybe we wouldn't.
I know, but
know
even
I mean?
By my standards, even I'd be asking a few questions.
I would
at
be
this
starting
stage.
To go, can I please get out of the attic? Just for a bit of fresh air.
I love what we have.
Yeah, this is great. And I don't want to rock the boat. And I'm loving this. And you're so kind and generous. But if you wouldn't mind, I'm just, I'm gasping here.
Yeah. I don't want to lose what we have.
Yeah.
But
I don't
even just a bit of garden
I don't want to lose
time.
Our friendship. I don't want to... I'd hate to ruin our friendship.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah,
etc.
Exactly.
So Otto, poor old Otto was arrested and tried for manslaughter, which I don't know, like he's been through enough.
I think Otto should, yeah.
Come on.
Where's Donny again? She's inside.
Donny is sitting there also charged with obviously the death of Fred. But so Otto was charged with manslaughter and obviously the media get really excited by this whole thing that he's been living in the attic and they dub him quite cruelly the Batman.
The Batman?
You know, Bat's
attic.
So Otto was convicted of manslaughter but later released because the statute of limitations had expired.
Sorry,
which
I'm totally on a... I haven't listened to a word you said there because I'm just thinking of better names.
Well, like Batman, I think he could
Christmas decoration box man he should be or something. Water tank man. Batman, I don't...
That's, baby clothes man.
Yeah. You know, shit I'm never going to use again, man.
But like, to be honest, the Batman, like if you had to have a nickname.
Yeah, but I think it gives him an air of coolness that he does not have based on this story. Like he doesn't even have the power to get out of the attic.
Just because Otto was into science fiction, let's not just assume that he wasn't cool.
Julie, he wasn't able to get out of the attic. Like, he doesn't have the power of Batman. He's Robin at best.
Oh, stop. He was a bit of a Robin, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Anyway,
the
sorry, carry on.
The good news is, which makes me, like, I know he did kill a man, but it does make me quite happy that he changed his name to Walter Klein.
Okay.
And moved to Canada, where he met another woman. He married this woman and eventually relocated back to LA and lived there the remainder of his life in obscurity. So he did have kind of a happy ending.
We don't know, though, if he was in the attic. Like, we have no evidence.
I don't know how much time he was spending in his own attic.
Of his own free will.
But at the same time, at least he moved on and was
to
in
a different
another relationship.
Attic.
Because I do think if I had spent a lot of time in one woman's attic, I don't know, would I be embarking on another relationship anytime soon?
It's hard to know because there's a lot of things about Otto that don't make sense for me. His nickname would be right up there. So I'm not really sure how I feel about Otto. I'm happy that he found happiness, but I'm concerned that he spent a lot of time in that attic also, and that he quite possibly lived in the attic. there as well. That's what I think happened.
You know? It could have been just a case from one attic to another.
I think so.
Yeah, you're hopping from one attic to another.
I don't think you just, you know, shake that off. I think
that was just
a phase. Yeah, I think, oh, can't believe I was
my attic
in
phase.
The attic. Yeah, I think that's like, you know.
Well, Donnie, meanwhile, unbelievably, her trial ended in a hung jury with most of the jurors leaning towards acquittal.
Wow.
And in 1936, the indictment against her was finally dropped. So in other words, she left court a completely free woman and remained in LA until her death in 1961, where she died at the age of 80. And that, Sharon Mannion, is the story of the very funny, strange, bizarre, anomalous story of the death of Fred Astrick.
Wow. Okay. Do we know if Dolly married again?
Dolly did not marry again.
No.
No, but apparently, you know, she did have other partners after the fact and stuff, but she never married again.
Yeah. Did anybody check in the attic? Because I'd want to have a look in there.
There could be a husband in there somewhere.
I'd say there's something up there.
It's a bit of a mad story, isn't it, Sharon?
It is a bit mad, but you know, who hasn't been there?
We've all gone through an attic phase.
We've all had different living situations. There is a property crisis, as you said. Listen, any one of us could be in the attic.
Well,
this
Sharon, listen, if you're not in the attic, where can we find you?
I'm in the Comedy Cellar at the International every Wednesday. So that's probably the best place to find me. Every Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
You also had an amazing show at Dublin Fringe, The Mothership.
I did. Bright Club presents The Mothership.
Are you going to be putting it on anywhere else?
We are going to be touring it next year. So
are
watch
you?
This space.
2023. Fantastic.
Boom.
And I do have to say, went to the show. I was part of the show.
Yes.
For Dublin Fringe. And it's honestly the funniest show I've seen in a long, long time.
Thank you, Julie.
Absolutely brilliant. So you're going to be announcing dates and stuff soon?
Probably after Christmas, I'd say, before we're making our announcements.
Okay, yeah. After Christmas, once you've got the lights back up in the attic.
Once we put everything away, make sure that there's no humans up there.
Sharon, you've been an absolute pleasure as ever. Thanks so much
for
coming in.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.